So I woke up this morning and I thought to myself, this was the wrong slide to begin with. I mean, a good one would be Flynn Rider, Entangled. I don't know if you've watched that one, but that would have been a good one. I mean, he saves this girl and then he dies. And it had been a long time since I'd watched that movie, so I didn't know how he was going to like come back to life. Because he has to come back to life. That's how the movie has to go. He has to. And so we were watching it just a few weeks ago at Clay and Jenna's place, and I waited. And then finally she cried. And the tear from her eye dropped onto Flynn Rider. And he came back to life. It's easy to believe that when it's in a movie, it's really easy to believe. And it's actually fun. But what's interesting about Flynn Rider's story is it might be a story of celebration, but maybe there is no need to hope. I don't know what we hope for, but today we're at this end of our series, our year with Jesus, and we're talking about how he's risen, and it's a time of celebration. I like to watch TV shows, I like to watch movies, so we shall try this one in a movie style. So, previously on our year with Jesus. So I'm just going to go back a few weeks. If you don't know the whole story, you got to look in your Bible and like read it for yourself. But a few weeks ago, we talked about how he was betrayed by the people who were closest to him, someone who was closest to him, and how he agonized over it, how he was tried unfairly, and how he carried that cross, and how Simon was there to help him out. And then he was crucified. But today we're talking about how after his crucifixion, he rose again because he is our living Savior. He is risen. So I know there's some new people around, some people not here, but today I'd like us to turn to our neighbors today. This is neighbor time. Turn to your neighbor. And let them know he is risen. Right? Turn to your neighbor. Let them know he is risen. He is risen. Right? Think about, he is risen. This is a time of celebration. Jesus is risen. And because he is risen, he is alive, we are here today. Because he's alive, we are a family. Because he is risen, we have a reason to celebrate, to hope, to smile. Just for the next few minutes, forget all your troubles. Just for the next few minutes, forget all your troubles. Just the next few minutes, we'll come back to them. Just next few minutes. And so this scripture has already been read. I'm just going to like reread just a little bit of it, just the part that maybe I kind of like. But Matthew 28:1-8. And I'm going to jump to verse 5. The angels say to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Now, put yourself in their shoes. Put yourself in their shoes. This was a man that they had watched preach. They had heard about Lazarus, all the miracles that Jesus had performed, all the hope that he had given the people, someone they actually loved and cared for. And he had died the most shameful of deaths on the cross, nailed to a tree. Picture yourself there early in the morning. You're there to mourn. You're not there to sell. You're just there to mourn. And there is this angel. I don't know what angels look like, but I bet it was fabulous and scary. And he's telling them he is risen. Tell your neighbor he is risen. We need to celebrate this moment. Forget your troubles for just the next few minutes. He is risen. He's alive. And because Because of that, I stand here before you. Because of that, you're all listening and participating, because he is risen. Imagine if he had just, you know, lain there and just chilled right there, and he'd be still chilling there right now. Imagine that. Where would we be? What would our lives look like? Tell your neighbor one more time that Jesus is risen. Just one more time. I'm going to take off my jacket and throw it around. He is risen. Jesus is risen, people. So, I think about all the things that I'm grateful for and all the things that I have celebrated in my life. And I want you to think about that right now. The grace that God has afforded us. If we could, we'd dance. If we had fireworks, we'd be just like popping them right now, just going up. He is risen. I wish I could give this excitement that I feel to you right now, but maybe you feel it. You're just, you know, sitting down. You don't have, like, it's okay. He is risen. It's real. He is alive. And because of this, we are saved. Now we're back to our problems. It was fun, wasn't it, for a moment? You know what's interesting about this story is how God's stuff takes time, right? So, let's go back, what, 3 days earlier? 3 days earlier, this man is on the cross somewhere in the evening. He is dying. And then he dies right there. But somehow God doesn't say, oh, up right now, now. No, he doesn't. Somehow it has to take 3 days for this miracle to come to be. 3 whole days. Let's go back about 30 years earlier, you know, when this man was born. For God so loved the world. The world needed to be saved when Jesus was born. It needed saving then. But somehow God had to wait over 30 years for this miracle to happen. I don't know why. We could even go back, what, 500 plus years when they were prophesying about Emmanuel. Prophesying about how he was going to come and change things, save us. And people had to wait thousands of years before our Lord and Savior was born, crucified, buried, before he was risen from the dead. And so, yes, we were celebrating, and we have a reason to celebrate. Even when things are really challenging, we need to know and understand there is a reason to celebrate. God's stuff takes time. It takes time. How many years did the Israelites spend in the desert? What, 40 years? Moses, how many years was he out and about looking after sheep? 40 years? How many days did Saul spend blind and waiting for God to turn him into Paul? I don't know what you're waiting for today. And there may be something that God is taking his time with you today. Maybe you're still thinking about it. Do I believe? Do I don't? I don't know. Maybe you're still thinking about it. Maybe God is working on you today, working on your heart and helping you through whatever it is you're working through. I hope today that even as you celebrate, even as we go back to those problems that we forgot a few minutes ago, that we know, trust, and believe that God's stuff takes time, but it's going to come through, right? Because Jesus has risen just as he said he would. just as he said he would. One of the challenges that I faced in my life is knowing that things are going to be okay, but also knowing that right now they're not. I sit there with whatever I'm feeling, knowing, give it time, it's going to be okay, but what do I do right now when it's not okay? What do I say to whom, when? How do I talk about God? How do I believe? But I'm glad and grateful that we have all these examples of God taking his time, but still coming through anyway, right? He takes his time, and he still comes through anyway. Salvation took about 33 years, but it came about anyway. And that's what we believe. So what's interesting about this story for me is how whenever people paint that tomb, there's always a bunch of light that's always bright and it's awesome. It's like Jesus' reason, bam, lights. Jesus' reason, sunlight. It's awesome. It's beautiful. But this story took place just around dawn when the sun was just about rising. In fact, if you go back a few hours earlier, it was dark. It was super dark. And when I was just looking around on the internet, this is like the best picture I could find that came close to actually exemplifying what might have happened that morning. It was dark. It was really dark. And so if you think about it, the miracle of resurrection happened when it was really dark. It was sometime in the middle of the night, sometime then, when there was no sunlight. When there was no bright awesomeness, no, it was dark. When I was in high school, we learned this word, it's called benighted. And so my friend, he Googled it, or at least found something in the dictionary. Benighted means, according to the definition, dark, 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 amidst the blaze of noon. That's what it means. Like, when it's so dark, even when the light is out, it's still dark. And I think about that when we think about our lives and how God is working through them. Jesus was born sometime in the middle of the night, right? Stars, angels, sometime in the night. How many wonderful things do we know that happened in the dark? I know most of us, we grow up just being encouraged to be afraid of it. And to think of it as the worst place for anything to happen. And that may be true. And here we are, God working in the dark. So when you wonder, and some darkness within, pain, sorrow, financial darkness, emotional darkness, somebody in the family is not feeling well, somebody passes away. I need you to know God works in that darkness. In that darkness, that's when Jesus was raised from the dead. In that darkness, that's when our salvation came about. In whatever darkness you're going through, yes, we're celebrating today. And yet we know that in this world we will have trouble. I was talking to someone a week ago, a very close friend, so don't try this at home. But I was telling him, oh, my life is okay, but I'm struggling with a few things, you know. And he looked at me and he said, are you surprised? I'm like, what do you mean? Are you surprised you're struggling? I was like, no, it's like, you were born. What do you expect, you know? What do you expect? You were born into this world. You are going to struggle. I couldn't stop laughing. But don't try this at home. Don't try this with anybody else. It might not work out so well. But I couldn't stop laughing. Because it's real, it's true. In this world, we will have trouble. But take heart. Because Jesus has conquered the world. He has conquered death. He has conquered that darkness. And ours today is a message of celebration and a message of hope. Hope that whatever it is we're facing, we understand, we believe, we know, we trust that He is risen. That He is our Lord and Savior. One of the things that gives me great encouragement is having us all together here. And I know it's a function of this resurrection that we're all here together. So I want you to know that you're not alone. You are not alone. Yes, God walks with us in the darkness. He is with you, but so are we with you. We are a family today. Because Jesus rose from the dead. You're my brother, you're my sister. We are a family because of this truth. You don't walk alone. God is with us, and we are with each other as a family because He is risen. So the next time that stuff is taking a little too long, I don't know. Because God takes His time. Maybe it's really dark somewhere in your heart, in your mind. You are not alone. Never will be. He is working with us, working with you, walking with us, holding our hands, carrying us through it all. One of the most encouraging, weirdest stories in the Bible that I know is the story of Daniel. It is still bizarre to me. But I'm going to read just a little bit of it right here. I think it's Daniel 3. Daniel 3:16. So, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to King Nebuchadnezzar after he, told them to bow or be thrown in the fire. So, they replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And He will deliver us from it, Your Majesty. But even if He does not, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." When I was a kid, I didn't get this. I did not get this. I'm like, what do you mean, even if? Isn't that doubting? Isn't that the beginning? What do you mean, even if? If you really believe He's going to save you from the fire, maybe you should just stop right there. Right? It's like, He's going to save us from the fire. Now you can throw us in. And these words still trouble me, even though I can hold them now. I can sit with them, but they still trouble me. What does it mean, even if? I wish I could help you, but I can't with this one. But this is the faith like Daniel. This is the faith that I want to encourage you all to have today. We are celebrating that He is risen, that we have conquered everything, that today we're victorious over whatever it is we're facing. But even if you don't feel that victory, even if you don't see it, even if, He is still risen. He is still alive today, and He's still our Savior. Even if. I was talking to Michael. We're talking about this, and he was saying, that grave has its place in this story. Imagine this story with Jesus all the way through, and then, bam, there's no crucifixion, and there's no grave, there's no dying, and I don't know how the story goes after that, because it's already off the rails. It's already off the rails. It has its place the troubles we face in this world have their place in our story. They have their place in the story of God's glory. The furnaces that we face have their place in our stories. And God's going to save us from that fire. He will. But even if he doesn't, he is still risen. Jesus is still risen. He is still alive. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. And we are still a family. When I was young, I came home one day from school, and I got home, and my mom was doing some ironing, and she told me, "Alan, me and your dad, I don't think we're going to work out, and we're going to part." And I thought to myself, yes, you know, you should have, like, split a long time ago. I'm like, yes, because, man, we're not going to have all this fight and this trouble in this house. So a month later, I was really sad. I didn't want them to go their separate ways. I didn't want that. But somehow, young me thought it was a good idea the month before, but I didn't want that to happen. So I decided I would pray, and I would fast, and I would talk to my friends at school and would pray, wake up at 5 a.m., pray for hours, and God would solve this problem. My family would not break apart. I prayed for a year, prayed for a second year, and this time I was giving God conditions. I'm like, you know what, in a month, you know what, you need to do this in a month, or else. Or else what? I don't know, but or else. You know, we need to work this out. You know, it's been 2 years now. 2.5 years later, 3 years later, and I began to get really angry at God. Why, if really you are risen, if you are alive, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to my family? I have prayed faithfully, fasted. Why? Other things were happening during that time, not so good things in my family. And I kept on praying. Until finally I thought to myself, maybe it doesn't help to pray. God's going to do whatever he does anyway. I'll just sit on the sidelines and I'll live my life. And it's interesting how the story still continues. My family still is broken up. But I'm encouraged, right? God works for good whatever happens in our lives. You could say I'm here today because my family broke up. Because they did, I couldn't go to school in Zimbabwe, so I ended up thinking I'm going to school in the USA. Without that, I wouldn't be here today. I'm not saying I'm grateful for what happened in my life, but I'm saying God has a plan, he has a reason. And today, even as we celebrate, I want us to have hope. He is risen, and we have every reason to be joyous and to jump up and down and throw jackets around and talk to our neighbors and tell them he is risen. At the same time, we also need to know it is hope. Hope that keeps us moving forward. For in this world we have trouble, but there's a world that's coming. The one that we don't talk about often, the world that's coming. Will there be no pain? No sorrow? No death, no disease. It's coming. We'll talk about it some more in a minute. But in business school, we do a lot of networking. And sometimes we get different models about how to talk to people. But there's this one that I really like about Inigo Montoya. So this is Business Networking 101. Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father,
prepare to die.
So these are the lessons you can take from this when you're networking. First, a polite greeting. Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. Second, your name, Inigo Montoya, of course. And then you need a relevant personal link. Oh, you know this person? I know this person. Oh, you like cars? I like cars. You know, relevant link. You killed my father. That's how we related. We related. And then you need to manage those expectations, all right, the relationship. So make sure you killed my father, now prepare to die. I don't want to surprise you. I don't want to surprise you. No, prepare to die. All right? And so today, because Jesus is risen, I want to encourage us to greet each new day in a certain way, right? You wake up in the morning and you say, hello, new day. I am God's beloved child. You can put your name right there. I know challenges will come my way today, but I want you to know that Jesus is risen. And because he lives, I am not alone. He is with me even in dark times. And because he lives, I have a reason to celebrate, and I know it may take time. It may. Because he lives, I have a family that celebrates with me and walks with me through heartache, through pain, and tears. Because he lives, I have hope that even if I'm not dancing today, that someone in my family is dancing, and I will dance soon as well. His reason. And I'm grateful for this. I always hate it when the TV show ends with to be continued. I always hate it. I was just like, oh. When I grew up in Zimbabwe, that was the end. There was no binging. There was no Netflix. There was nothing. That's the end. You get away for next week. And then next week, you know, the president decides to have an address during your TV show. That's over. Nope. Two more weeks to go. But seriously, this story of how he's risen is to be continued.